want you to open your Bible this morning to Psalm 100, if you've got it. If not, it's going to be on the screen in just a moment. You know, many times when I meet people, I've done it this morning already a few times, I'll look at somebody and go, hey, what's going on in your world? What's going on in your world? And so I love that because I get all kinds of reactions from that. Hey, what's going on in your world? Because some people say, well, hey, this is going on or this is going on. It can be good. It can be bad. It can be indifferent. But let me ask you guys this. What's going on in your world? What's going on in your world? Have you thought about it? The good news is this, or maybe you'll have to decide whether it's good news. Regardless of how you answer that question, regardless of whatever is in your world this morning, Scripture teaches us what God's will is for your life. People all the time are going, hey, what's God's will for my life? And they think that their circumstances may dictate that. Whatever's in the world may change that. But Scripture teaches us over and over again, there are some things that is it's God's will for your life, regardless of what's in your world today, how good, how bad, how indifferent you think it might be. That God teaches us, hey, this is my will for your life in your world right now. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it gives us that link. You just hold your spot there at Psalm 100, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I told somebody this morning, hey, if you want to memorize verses, this is a good place to start. Rejoice always. We ought to all be able to memorize a verse. You can say, hey, I memorized a Bible verse today. I always remember these verses because years ago I was going to a conference, and so some people called me and said, listen, hey, Truett Cathy is going to speak at this conference, and we would love for you to read some scripture before he speaks. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. And they gave me 1 Thessalonians 5:16-17. Four words. I was like, that's all I get. I was thinking big, long passage. But anyway, it says in verse 16, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for your life in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you in Christ. So you just think about it. You remember how you answered the question? I said, hey, how are things in your world? In your world, he says, rejoice always, pray continually, what? And give thanks in all circumstances. He's going, Jeff, wait a minute. You mean that crazy thing, that crazy person, that crazy situation? I'm supposed to be thankful for that? No, I didn't say for. He didn't say for. In. You're not supposed to go, well, I'm thankful for this relationship falling apart. I'm thankful for this diagnosis. No, not all that. But in the midst of all that, there's a huge distinctive between in and for. It's an important distinction. You say, why would I give thanks in everything? Because when you make the decision, and it's a decision, when you answer the question, this is what's going on in my world, but in that I'm going to be thankful, what you're saying is this, I'm showing my faith and I'm believing that God is bigger in whatever's going on in my world. And so in my world, I give thanks. Now, it's hard to do that. And because it's hard to do it, and sometimes we don't like to do hard things, you know what we do? We just skip it. It's like, well, in my world, things aren't very good today, and so I'm just not going to be thankful. I'm not going to wake up this morning and start the day going, hey, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that, and so we just skip it. The problem with that is what we read in Psalm 100. In Psalm 100, it says, hey, this is a very important mindset because this opens the door. This makes it possible for you to have a meaningful connection with God. So you have to ask yourself, why am I here? Many people would say, well, I'm here for lunch. And so others would say, well, I'm here trying to connect with God. But how are you going to do that? I mean, he don't live in this building. So if you came looking for him in the building, he's not here. He lives in people. But he says, if you want to have that connection with me, if you want to experience my presence, he says there's a way to do that. In Psalm 100, he tells us this. Look, if you got your Bible, open it up. I just want to read it together. And you'll recognize a lot of this. He says in verse 1, he says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. I love the word all. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us and we are his. And we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Now he says, listen, you looking to make a connection? Verse 4, he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. You see, We talk a lot about it, and Scripture teaches that, you know, when you come to Jesus Christ, that God is your friend, but also he's king. And because he's king, he says there are certain prerequisites I'm asking you to have when you make that connection with me. It's not just singing a song. It's not just being in a building. I want you to come with thanksgiving. And so you ask yourself, when I asked you, hey, what's in your world today? The second question, did you come in thanksgiving to your world? You know, over the last couple of months, I've been reading a lot about Jimmy Carter and former President Carter. And what I've been reading about is really his post-presidency and all that he's done in his life. And one of the interesting things to me, he lives in Plains, Georgia, which is about as big as these two sections. And if you've been to Plains, Georgia, but it's just how he functions in life. Because if you've ever been around a former president, there's still a lot of formality and a lot of security. And he just walks around town. And you could be down at the pharmacy, and here he just comes walking in. And I read a story the other day about a vet moved to town and said, I turned around, and there's the president standing in my lobby. And he asked the Secret Service to sit outside, and he invited me over for dinner that night. How odd is that? But one of my favorite things I've been reading about is he teaches Sunday school. Y'all know he teaches Sunday school. About 2 to 3 times a month, he teaches Sunday school and has been for about 40 years. And so when he teaches Sunday school, this church that runs 30, 40 people swells to about 500. And they line up the previous night, and you get a number, and the first 350 get to sit in the building, the other 100 plus can sit in the overflow room. And so you go, and they give you a number, and you wait in line, and then you meet Miss Jan. Miss Jan is the gatekeeper of Maranatha Baptist Church in Plains, Georgia. She is a former school teacher, retired now, and she tells you how to enter into the presence of a president. And she has rules. When the president walks in, do not stand or clap. Do not ask the president for an autograph. By all means, don't ask him out to lunch, though he will probably be at the cafe after church. If you want his autograph, you have to stay after Sunday school and go to the worship service. But if you want a picture, not his autograph, if you want a picture, you stay till the next service. When you get your picture made with him, do not shake hands with him, and do not put your arm around him. If you're in a group, there's only one picture per group. And you think, man, I love it. If you've heard her give this, if you can go on YouTube, you can probably see her give this speech. It's fascinating. It's funny. It's hilarious. But what she's basically doing is I'm giving you the prerequisites that you might have a meaningful connection with a former president in Plain, Georgia. God says, listen, I want to connect with you. But when you come to me, I want you to come in thanksgiving. In your world. And some of you are thinking, man, that's not going to happen because in my world is not good. There's no way. How could I do that? Well, Psalm 100, verse 5, we just read it. It tells us the foundation of that. You read verse 5, if you put it back up there, it simply says, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Your ability to be thankful in things doesn't have anything to do with you. It has everything to do with him. And so you got up this morning, you were focused on what was going on in your world, or you focus on who he is. That's why you can have a connection with God today. Psalm 119, verse 68 puts it this way. He simply says, you are good. He's talking about God. And what you do is good. Have you ever thought about this? Think about this. Have you ever thought about what God thinks about when he thinks about you? You're thinking, I've been trying my whole life not to think about that. Right? Right? And I hate that you brought it up this morning. Have you ever thought about what God thinks about when he thinks about you? Let me tell you what he thinks. You're saying, please don't. I'm telling you, he's good. And because of that, all the stuff and all the baggage and all the junk and all you fill in the blank, you know what he says? I want to be good to you. I want to bless you. I want you to know that I'm for you. I want you to know I'm with you. I want you to know that I am plotting this morning. You know what God's plotting this morning? Well, that's what I've been scared of my whole life. He's plotting for good. See, I don't know what's going on in your world this morning, but in this world, God looks at your world and says, I'm plotting for good for you. So that's a different opinion than most of you had about God. That's not what you thought he was thinking when he thinks about you. But that's it. You're saying, no, Jeff, I just can't. You grew up in a place that didn't teach that, that didn't teach the scriptures about that. You're thinking, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I'm the exception. That's good for all these other people, but you just don't know what's in my world. You're not the exception. Psalm 145 tells us this. You know, I told you earlier, I love the word all in scripture. Look at this in Psalm 145. It says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, good news, rich in love, good news. The Lord is good to this thing on. The Lord is good to and he has compassion on. You're not the exception. You're not the exception. So in your world this morning, when you got up and God was plotting for your good and he has compassion on all with all the stuff that you thought he doesn't need to think about me, have you given him thanks in all of that? You see, the danger is this. It's when we don't think like that, and I can tell by the look on your face you're going, I don't know about all this. When we don't do that, let me tell you what happens. If you don't have that attitude, when things get tough in your world, you'll run from him. Because you'll think he's not good. And he finally got me. You know anybody that's running from God? You know anybody this morning? Don't point. That's mad at him because in their world, it didn't go the way they thought it should go. And he didn't do what he should have done in their world. And today, because they were never able to get to the point of simply saying, I'm not thanking him for that junk. I'm not thanking him for that. But in the midst of it, I'm going to still thank him because he's good and he's a God of compassion and mercy. You know what happens? We run. We get angry. We get bitter. I tell you another thing that happens when you don't thank God in your circumstances. You write this down however you want to, but we begin to toot our own horn. I told y'all my mother, she doesn't let you toot your own horn. You know, if you're around her and you say something about yourself good, she's going to go toot, toot. And that means stop. That means don't do that anymore. So I talked to her last week, and so on the way home, I always call her when I'm on the way home. And she was going, well, and she told me, she's so good, she says, I'm going to toot your horn. You can't, but I'm going to toot your horn for you just a moment. And she said something that I did that she liked. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're not careful, when you don't have an attitude of thanksgiving in your world, you begin to toot your own horn. You say, what does that mean? You just begin to think, hey, I'm responsible for all this. I'm responsible for my success and my position in life and my power and my money. And with anything I've accomplished, look at what I did. You would never say that publicly or out loud. That's what you think, though. I'm going to tell you another thing. If you don't thank God in your world, you'll stop asking him for help. Because you'll think he doesn't care. You'll think he's not interested. Man, I'd hate to get up tomorrow morning knowing I can't connect with him with whatever's going to come into my world, that I couldn't talk to him about it. I'm going to tell you another thing, and we know this from our own experience. When we don't thank God in the midst of our circumstances, whatever they may be, good or bad, you can almost count on it. That person's going to be negative and pessimistic. You know anybody negative and pessimistic? Don't? Yeah, you know a bunch. Let me tell you one thing about that person. I don't care if you're married to them. I'm sorry. If they're your kid or you work next to them, you know, tell you what, I know about that person, they're not thankful. You cannot, in your world, be thankful and at the same time be negative and pessimistic. Do we have moments of we go dark? Of course. But he says, in your world, in your circumstances, be thankful. Come into my presence with thanksgiving. So here's the challenge as we think about that. I challenge you today to look for the blessing. To be intentional. Y'all know I'm a post-it note freak. I was looking this morning. I had a friend give me 12 packs the other day. All different sizes and colors. It's called the Rio de Janeiro collection. It is. I'm serious. I love some Post-it notes. I got them from about this big. My biggest one's about this big. And Joellen walked in my office this morning. She said, "What happened to your office? Somebody cleaned it up." You know what that means? There weren't 24 Post-it notes all over the desk. I've told y'all, you know why there's Post-it notes in the world, don't you? We got great forgetteries. You better start Post-it noting some stuff. And just simply make the decision to get up and put a Post-it note by your bed and get up and I'm going to write one thing today in my world I'm thankful for. Make a list. Because here's what happens. If you don't do that, you'll begin to complain about the things you prayed for. That's how weird you'll start acting. How many of you, well, we'll talk about other people, but how many of you know somebody's complaining about their kids? You complaining about your job. You complaining about your spouse. Y'all just stop me when I get close. And you're complaining about something that you prayed for. And you think, how weird can we get? But that's what happens if you don't get up in the morning and go, I'm just going to intentionally look out for the blessing. And you may have to start small. You may have to look at your spouse and go, as I've said before, he breathes consistently. Thank you, God. You're thinking, I'm not going to thank him for that. Thank him for something else. He blinks his eyelids always. I don't know. But be intentional about it. Look for the blessing. The second thing is this. Remember that gratitude is never invisible or silent. Gratitude is never invisible or silent. I was at an event the other day that I've done many times. At the close of every one of these events I go to, they have a goodie bag. And I was even thinking to myself, as I got close to leaving, I was like, they're going to meet me and give me my goodie bag. And I thought, I got to walk this way because I need to make it easy for them to meet me to give me the goodie bag. And so I get the goodie bag. I love the goodie bag. It's got good stuff in it. It's a goodie bag. And I get the goodie bag and I'm sitting there and I expected it. I knew they were going to do it. It's very nice of them. And I get the goodie bag and I'm making small talk and I get in the car and leave. I never told them thank you for the goodie bag. I knew it was coming. I always get it. I always like it. I sort of expect it. I wait for it. And I walk right past it and never said thank you. I was devastated when I got in the car. I drove off, and about 10 minutes down the road, I was like, oh, man. And I debated turning around and going back. Because I could hear my mama in my head going, did you say thank you? I'm like 52 years old. She's still hearing it in my head. And so, you know what you do? The next morning, I was like, man, hey, I just want, had to go back and retract and reverse and go back and say, I'm so sorry, man. Thank you. Because gratitude is always visible and verbal. A lot of people say, well, have you ever heard this? I'm grateful, I just don't say it. Really? And if you ever had those conversations, and some of you are going right now going, hey, man, I understand what you're saying about gratitude being verbal and visible, but you don't know my heart. You sure? Because the Bible teaches us in Luke chapter 6, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, what they saw in my heart when I walked past that guy that gave me my goodie bag was I was expecting it. I was looking forward to it. I took it for granted. Give me my bag. One of the reasons I came here for the bag, we're going to just be honest. I've been getting the bag for 6 years now, and I come in, I want the bag. Had I not gotten the bag, I said, you know what I said? What kind of organization are we running here? I mean, you people have no class. I didn't get the bag. Why cut back in finances with the bag? We do that all the time with God, don't we? We expected to get up this morning, didn't we? Did you thank him? We expected for me to be here, not at this point in the service, at 10:30 to have this opportunity to worship together. Did you thank him for it? You were expecting, we'll just fill in the blank. And it, had it not happened, you'd have thought, what kind of organization are we running here? God, hello? You expect it. You want it. You desire it. You think it's owed to you. And sometimes we just have to back up and go, whoa, whoa, whoa. I got to verbalize it. And so he says, enter into my courts with praise and thanksgiving. Because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, how are things in your world? You see, Psalm 103 tells us, make a post-it note. Psalm 103, he simply tells us, and I want to read it out of my Bible this morning. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Is that your attitude this morning? You know why? He says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And in my notes, because the reason I want to read, the goodie bag. He said, Jeff, that's not spiritual. It's not doctrinally correct. You write whatever you want to in yours. What are all these benefits that we shouldn't forget? Who forgives all your sins? All that stuff you're going, I hope you don't think about me today. And heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He says, forget not all of his benefits. He simply says, hey man, do you remember you almost didn't make it through that thing that almost buried you? Not necessarily physically, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. But he said, but you didn't make it. That thing that you got through, that stuff, it was long, it was hard, but you made it, you made it. And so today, he simply challenges us, hey, thank God that he's your friend. Thank him that he is your peace. He's your deliverer, he's your secret keeper, he's your burden bearer. He's your healer. He is your provider. Thank him today that when I asked you the question, how are things in your world? You said they're not good. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you can simply say today, everything in my world is not right. But things are right between me and God. Not because of anything I've done, but because of Jesus Christ. How are things in your world? Did you think or did you forget the thinking for the goodie bag? You got up this morning. You live in a place like this that there was nobody out in the parking lot going, if you go in there, we're going to get you. I mean, Reggie met you. John met you. Trey met you. There was coffee. You're going, there's coffee? There's coffee. And you're going to leave here today, and like I said last week, none of you, to my knowledge, are worried about where you're going to eat today or what you're going to eat. It's just whether it's going to be Mexican or not. Gratitude is always expressed. Verbally. And visually.